This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
What is going on, everyone? This is Eric Rivera with the Y Nada Más podcast. And here we are again. I am doing this. I'm actually recording it on a Wednesday. We just had the game today. So when I'm recording it right now, it's Wednesday evening for you guys that are listening. Wednesday evening, we had the game against RB Leipzig in the Champions League. Real Madrid comes out on top, or Real Madrid comes out on top again. 2-0 with a banger from Marcos Asensio, and basically at the end of the game, but the guy who started it all off once again, El Halcón, El Pajarito, you know, the man of the hour, I think, really. You know, a lot of talk about Vinicius, a lot of talk about Rodrigo lately, but the man that, and of course, I mean, we spoke about him as well this weekend when they played Mallorca. But Valverde is one of the guys that has been completely on fire, and then he was the one who scores today. But of course, with an assist, with a beautiful assist by the man himself, Vinicius, as well. So we're going to get into a bunch of different things that I want to talk about. I want to talk about the controversy with Vinicius and the whole, you know, sort of anti-Madrid agenda there is with Vinicius and this whole idea of sportsmanship and celebrations and all this kind of crap. That I feel like now the Spanish media and, you know, in Spain is trying to drum up against Vinicius. I kind of want to always also talk about, you know, the moral victories, or, you know, the fact that Barcelona seems to be, a lot of Barcelona fans seem to be happy about their win, their loss against Bayern again yesterday. And then this whole idea of moral victories, do they exist or not, that kind of stuff. And of course, we'll talk about the Mallorca game. That's probably what I'll talk about first. And then essentially we'll talk about that kind of stuff as well. So, and of course, I'm sorry, of the game today in the Champions League against RB Leipzig. Yes, it was a frustrating game. But I think a lot of people sometimes, like I always say, self-hating Madridistas, people get bent out of shape over minor things or things that just are going to happen. You know, there are going to be tough games. You know, we can't win them all with a, you know, 4-0, 5-0. Not all game is going to be a walk in the park. And I think it's weird to me that Madridistas think that, like, every game has to be a walk in the park. Like, if it's already, like, if we don't start, it's funny. I'm following, you know, the comments on Twitter while I'm watching the game. And I'm wondering to myself, like, what is it that people want to see? I mean, obviously, yes, you want to see pretty dominating football, but that's not always going to happen. There's going to be gritty games. There's going to be games where the other team is playing defensively. The RB Leipzig is not an easy team, you know? They're not, you know, pushovers. This is a team that for the last, what, six seasons, I think they were saying, have been in the Champions League. They've made it to the semifinals at some point. You know, they've kicked out teams, you know, that are important teams, you know, so they've done, you know, obviously they've gone through different cycles, they've had different players, but in their ranks at some point, but at the same time, you know, they are a talented team. So I'll get into that in just a second. So once again, I am Eric Rivera. This is the Y Nada Más podcast. You can find us on Instagram at YNM podcast. I uploaded a video again today, being an idiot. I uploaded a video to the of Fede's celebration and immediately got taken down. So I haven't been able to post anything since. I'm just not going to fuck around with videos anymore because, you know, this Instagram shit is lame. I see, like, it's crazy to me. I see I see, like, compilations and stuff on there, you know? So I don't know how they're, either somebody's just being a bitch and, like, reporting my stuff, or, I mean, I even cut it down to where it's like 2 seconds long and it still, for some reason, gets taken down, you know, and it's not even La Liga stuff. This was from Champions League and it was a celebration. It wasn't even a goal. Anyway, just completely crazy stuff. So I'm not even going to fuck around with that anymore. Anyway, find us at Instagram at YNM. We already had one. Instagram deleted at one point. So find us on Instagram at YNM Podcast. Find us on Facebook at Inadamas Podcast. On Twitter at Inadamas Podcast. That's where you'll find me. That is me tweeting. That's where I am most active on Facebook and on Instagram. It's my graphic designer helping me out with stuff here and there. And then also one of my producers helping me out with stuff. Well, one producer, by producer, I mean editor, who helps me edit sometimes the video portion of the podcast and the audio portions. And then in addition, to that, we also have the YouTube channel, which is Inadamas Podcast. You can find us there now on YouTube at Inadamas Podcast. Look us up there. So if you are listening right now, you can see the video version on YouTube. And if you are watching me right now, you can listen to always, obviously, the audio version by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are found, pretty much, right? So that's it. That's all I have to say about that. We're also starting to post again. Trombach just posted his ratings. His basically his how would I say, what do you call it? His reaction to the Mallorca game, and that you can find his reaction, and you'll find other articles written by Trombach, and then our other contributor, which is Hilal. He's in the UK. You can see some of the stuff that he's written with us in the past. He hasn't written anything lately. I was speaking to him today. Hopefully he can get on some stuff. He always writes some nice inspirational kind of shit. Really good writing there. So anyway, all those articles you can find on our website, which is inadamas.net. And podcast is there as well. Other stuff like that. Anyway. You know, we're just trying to grow here. So in addition to that, actually, I don't have anything else in addition. Let's jump right into the game today. So this weekend, we'll talk about Mallorca first. So this weekend, we had a game against Mallorca. It was, I think a lot of things came out of this game. So, obviously we are without Benzema. So a lot of talk. Without Benzema, we played against Celtic last week. Benzema played. Then Eden Hazard came in, scored a goal, made an assist, looked good doing it. So I think everybody was under the impression. I even said it on the last podcast. We were excited. Eden Hazard, let's see if he can do it, if this can be his time to shine. So he started against Mallorca and really, once again, fell short. You know, and I think it was Ramon... Alvarez de Mon, who has his own YouTube channel as well, Spanish. I don't know if he's a journalist or, you know, he's just another guy that, you know, likes to post about, I think he does like economy. I don't know what he does, but anyway, he's good. He's a good, source. I like his stuff, level headed, not, you know, over the top. So he was saying apparently that there are some sources basically saying that at this point, At this point, Real Madrid, the upper echelons of Real Madrid are frustrated with Eden Hazard at this point. He's promised a lot. We all thought he was going to be able to turn this around, and then we just don't see it. I don't think I've ever been under the impression that he's going to be able to ever recuperate that form he had at Chelsea. He came here like what everybody was talking. He came to Real Madrid overweight. He came out of shape. He came seemingly not taking it seriously. Then he gets injured. So a lot of things come into play there, and people were just unhappy about it. He consistently got injured, you know, working his way back into the game. And it just seems like the game has, at this point, after what, three seasons with Real Madrid or four now, he basically is just passing. The game is passing him by. At this point, Vinicius is obviously the starter on the left wing. It's not going to be Eden Hazard. I don't think they're going to start him as the number nine. That's obviously gone, as a false nine. That's obviously not worked. I think we prefer Rodrigo over him. So that's the situation we're in right now. So really what it has come down to is we get scored on in Mallorca by, what's his name? Muriqi. Scores a beautiful header. Really was a complete, this is one of my only frustrations with Real Madrid so far this season. It seems like in the last few games, thankfully not today against Leipzig, but in the last games. We sort of give up these, we have these defensive lapses and we give up goals, something that we don't want to do, obviously, against stronger teams in the future, because you might not have that chance to get back into the game. Obviously, we've seen Real Madrid come back and score with the likes of PSG, the likes of Chelsea, everything that they did miraculously in the Champions League last season. But you don't want to continue to put yourself in that type of situation where you're conceding goals that you really shouldn't be conceding. And this is like the second one, I believe, that we conceded. We've conceded goals, sorry. There has been two times. There's been one time we conceded it from a throw-in. We almost conceded another one from the throw-in in the game against Mallorca. The player just missed. I think was Sanchez from Mallorca. He missed. But then, and this one, you know, Mendy completely loses his man. Muriqi's on the back post, and he just completely, he doesn't even jump. He loses his mark, and pretty much easy header, good header by Muriqi to score and go one up on the scoreline. So it's like we don't get started until we're down, and I wish we would change that. But at the end of the day, obviously, the win is the win. So then from there, we obviously, beautiful goals, a stunner by Valverde, who has been, I think that's the name. I think after today as well, the name that really is starting to show his, for me at least, starting to show himself as the guy that is really developing at a warp speed now is Valverde. I really think, I mean, a lot of you guys said some really cool stuff last season, which was at some point, I got like my hair's all fucked up here. Anyway, at some point, these shots that he was taking on goal, right, that hit the post multiple times last season, that would miss just by inches, at some point they were going to go in. And at this point, it seems like Valverde, you know, they were always so close and they just weren't going in for him. At this point, it seems like now they're going in for him, you know. I also think his confidence is up. He's not afraid to run and take on defenders. He's not afraid to, if he sees the space, to go for it, you know, and run it through it. So, and that's what we saw with that first goal that he scored against Mallorca to tie up the game, pretty much in the 45th minute of the first half, runs across the entire field. You know, some definitely defensive mistakes, weak defending by Mallorca in the midfield. But I don't think, the thing is, I think the guy that, there was one guy that tried to stop him in the midfield, kind of just puts his arm out and tries to stop him, but doesn't. It seemed like the defenders were like, surely he's not going to run all the way with this thing, right? And that's exactly what he did. So I don't, you know, you can say it was bad defending, but at the same time it was, you know, it was one of those things where a guy's running at you and you're like, surely he's not going to try and run through the entire crowd. I mean, sorry, the crowd of defenders in this case, the crowd of midfielders, and take on a shot, you know, and go for the solo goal, right? And that's exactly what he did. Scores a banger, hits it top left corner of the net with his left foot. Another left-footed goal when he's a right-footed player. Absolutely fantastic. And I think that sets the tone for the rest of the match. Mallorca, we looked kind of shoddy in the first half. Second half, obviously, Real Madrid comes back and we have a phenomenal second half. Vinicius and Rodrigo with a 1-2, and Vinicius gets scores his goal. Then Rodrigo scores an absolute stunner, dribbling through the defense. I think he like jukes four defenders in order to get that shot off. And then Rudiger with a pass, essentially. I forgot who made the pass. Was that David Alaba or Kroos? I think it was Alaba, right? I might be wrong. I forgot who made the assist, guys, because I don't have it in front of me. But either way, back post, Rudiger scores. In the end of the game, at the second half, it's funny because We're in these games where it seems like we're going to end up 1-0 or just kind of winning by a minimal difference. And we're in the second half, we're scoring four goals, you know, or three goals. It's pretty awesome to see that. And it just goes to see, like, really, I feel like Real Madrid is like the rope-a-dope team, essentially. They did it last season against in the Champions League. And they're doing it again this season. You know, they're the rope-a-dope team. Essentially, they lull you into feeling confident. You can even score goals on them. They lull you into feeling confident. They lull you. They even give you possession. They give you chances. And then all of a sudden, when you think that you're comfortable and they're not going to go for it because there's maybe 15 minutes left in the game, 10 minutes left in the game, 5 minutes left in the game, a minute left in the game, 30 seconds left in the game, Real Madrid will turn the game around. You know, it's just the team that does not give up. And I love it because I'm seeing it from all the players. I'm seeing it from the moves that Dani Ceballos is doing in the midfield, you know, keeping the ball, fighting for the ball, fighting, you know, the things that Vinicius is doing, dribbling and whatnot, which is obviously now what is the agenda essentially is, you know, because Vinicius scores and he dances. Like, I don't understand the worry about this shit. You know, it's like they have to start an agenda. So we win the game 4-1, you know, great for Real Madrid, 7 out of 7 wins. And now the narrative is because Mallorca starts kicking the fucking guy all the time, they're trying to take him down and they're saying that he's provoking them. And really, I don't see what's provocative out of the sense that he's dribbling through you. You're trying to take the ball from him and he's dribbling you, right? That is what a player does. If he's trying to clown you, he's clowning you. It doesn't have to do with the fact, I mean, maybe he is clowning you a little bit because at this point you're trying to take the ball from him and he realizes he can get by you. So he kind of abuses that a little bit, but I don't see the unsportsmanship of it. Like, dude, like he can do it. He's going to do it. You know, and I see people who are like, oh, well, now you're going to have to kick him or break him or whatever. And I just think that's the more unsportsmanship side of that is that you're going to go end up doing that. You know, you're the one that's being unsportsmanlike. If you really think that your only way to stop a guy is to kick him. And yes, I understand that this is Real Madrid, the home of guys like Pepe and Sergio Ramos and Fernando Hierro and all these guys that used to be, you know, they would try to take your soul in each game. But, I am not, you know, there's things that I saw obviously from Pepe that I don't appreciate, you know, that video that's going around now where he goes psycho and tries to beat the shit out of the guy when he's on the ground. That's not something that we were like, I don't know, some people, some Madridista might condone it, but not everybody's condoning it, you know? And the idea of people are saying, oh, you know, that Madridistas want to celebrate Vinicius dribbling and dancing, but we hated Neymar for doing the same thing. And I don't know about you, but I don't remember a Madridista hating Neymar for dribbling or being unsportsmanlike. I don't remember that was the issue. The issue with Neymar being unsportsmanlike had to do with the fact that he dived all the time. He literally dives all the time. It's not a new thing. I mean, I understand, and Vinny does the same thing, but it happens when you're a guy who likes to dribble, likes to showboat a little bit, and then essentially what happens is guys come at you, and so your only way of dodging them is probably diving out of the way, right? Obviously, you know, I think Vinicius has a tendency to make a meal of it a little bit, you know, play it up a little bit. So does, of course, Neymar. And so do so many other players. But then let's go to the dancing thing. The dancing thing when celebrating, saying that is provoking people. And it's like, listen, man, I'm from Colombia, right? My family's from Colombia. Remember during some of you guys will remember. Remember during the 2014 Colombian team run, the thing that so many people loved about the Colombian team when they were scoring was that they would do all these dances that, which in Colombia we would call salsa choque. They were doing, because that was a dance that was popular at the time in Colombia, they were doing the salsa choque, the whole team doing the salsa choque right after they would score. You know, and people loved them for it. It wasn't that it was provocative. You know, you see African teams dancing after, you see, you know, players of African descent, players of Latin descent doing it. You know, I think it's, you know, it's a cultural thing. You're not going to stop them from dancing. And it's not to be disrespectful. It's essentially to celebrate a goal, you know, and I don't know why. I only see this type of stupidity I don't know why it's in Europe, and in, I mean, it, I see some, I see it in, I'm hearing it obviously from pundits from La Liga. There was the commentary that was going around from La Liga was saying that, you know, he, oh, I don't know about the dancing or whatever. I don't know why they have that person saying that shit. I don't see anybody complaining about people dancing in the Premier League, you know? You know, I don't know. In the States, we don't really have a problem with it. I think the NFL started doing something for excessive celebration, which I think is ridiculous. Unless your celebration is offensive, you know, unless you're like, you know, crotch chopping or, you know, flipping the rest of the fans, the bird, or I saw this video recently. It was a GIF or it was a shot from Emmanuel Adebayor, when he was at Tottenham, after leaving Arsenal, like 2 months prior, he scores. He's playing for Tottenham. He scores against Arsenal, runs across the field to go to where the Arsenal fans are, and essentially celebrates in front of the Arsenal fans. And then obviously they lose their shit and everything like that. Now I think that's obviously trying to instigate something. That's provoking, you know, that kind of stuff. But I don't know, man. I think about myself and I was like, if I left a team in bad, you know, in bad situation, you would kind of probably do that kind of stuff. I don't know. I always imagine myself, like, if I played for Real Madrid, like, I would do something really fucked up. Like, if I was playing Barcelona and I beat them in the Camp Nou, like, I would run over to, like, dance on top of their crest or some shit like that, you know? I know people would lose their minds and you'd probably be banned or whatever, or, you know, they'd start throwing things. But, you know, you think about that type of stuff. It's like celebrations because it's like against your rivals, you want to stick it to them, right? So, but I don't think anything that he's doing is malicious. And this whole idea of him, you know, they're trying to bring it up now is really, I always feel like they, because they're not doing it when Atletico Madrid does it. You know, they're not saying this stuff when Atletico Madrid does it, when João Félix just did it, when Griezmann did it, you know, when he would do the Fortnite dance and all that stuff. They weren't saying it, but they do it when Vinny does it. And I don't want to, you know, throw the race card out there and those kind of things, but you always wonder, like, why is it? Is it because it pisses you off because he's like a young black kid from Brazil that's, you know, making you all look like clowns? I mean, I really think that that's sometimes what it is. Sometimes when you see these things in Europe and things like that and in Spain. Not saying it's, you know, a deliberately racist thing, but I think they do sometimes get dangerously close to that. I'm Hispanic, man. I know my people. I know the white Hispanics and how they behave, you know, and then, you know, I'm pretty sure there are not all of them, of course, but then white Europeans probably do the same thing. You know, you get pissed off and it's like, oh, the black guy or whatever, man, fuck that, dude. Like, you gotta be level-headed with this shit. And I think it's just an anti-Vinny agenda. And the fact that he plays for Real Madrid obviously compounds that, you know? Anyway, I think it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Vinny, keep dancing, keep scoring, do your thing. I think there are certain aspects of it that maybe he wants to tone down, maybe the dribbling and clowning the defenders. But I think he was doing it because they were legitimately trying to hurt him. So he was like, all right, you want to start kicking me? Then I'm going to start making you look like an idiot. And I think that's totally justified. And can it possibly gain him, get him, you know, people targeting him and stuff like that? Sure. But I think players get targeted all the time if they're good. Messi was getting targeted. Ronaldo gets targeted. Mbappe gets targeted. Neymar gets targeted. All these guys that are top players get targeted for shit like that. You know, when they pull off dribbles like that or do things like that to defenders. Defenders don't like to be clowned, obviously, you know? That's the whole point. That's the job of the striker and the job of the defender, you know? And I think that's what makes football fun. So stop being such, like, fucking, I don't know, man. Just, what do you call them? I was going to use that term. What do you call it? Negative Nancy? Or just Nancy boys about it. Just fuck about it. Just stop. I mean, just let them play. Anyway, going on to the next thing that I wanted to talk about. Okay, so yesterday we saw Bayern again beat Barcelona. And this is where I want to put on my hat of You know, you take off the scarf, you take off the scarf, meaning, you know, you take off the colors, the biases of being from one team, the rival team, right? Barcelona is definitely looking like a better team. You know, the game yesterday showed that they are dangerous, and they continue to look dangerous in La Liga. Of course, they haven't faced, you know, teams like Real Madrid. They haven't faced teams like Real Betis. They haven't faced Atletico Madrid yet. You know, they haven't faced the teams up on the higher end of the spectrum, right? Higher up the table, right? But they are looking dangerous. They are looking scary. Lewandowski is a beast. You know, you're not going to take that away from him. No. And just because now he's at Barcelona, you're not going to be like, oh, Lewandowski sucks. It's not true. He doesn't suck. Dembele is obviously having a great season, and he's there. You know, Pedri is a guy who's talented. I don't think, you know, all these comparisons to like Zidane and all this shit that Barcelona fans tend to do and say, you know, oh, he's the next coming of Zidane, like Pedri or Gavi, and Gavi's the next coming of, I don't know, Iniesta or something like that. Like those things are all ridiculous. I honestly don't think Gavi's that impressive as of yet, you know? Can he be? Sure. Do they have talented youngsters? Yeah. I think the only guy, aside from Lewandowski, obviously, because, you know, Lewandowski's a beast, the only guy I seem to tolerate at Barcelona for me is Araujo. I think he is a serious player. I think he is a great player. And I like Pedri too. I think he's a good player, but that whole thing about him, you know, being cold in Madrid or whatever it was, kind of soured it, obviously, you know, those comments and things like that. But obviously the media takes it out of context or whatnot. And I think we have great players in Camavinga and Tchouaméni and Valverde, obviously, that can meet those guys and play them toe-to-toe. Well, we're going to see it this season. And I really hope we don't get scored on and we take the game seriously and we don't get like four goals put past us and things like that. We can see that Barcelona is a solid team. Yes, they are a solid team. They did well against Bayern. But the thing is, one of the things that I will say is that this, and I said it on the Twitter while I was watching the game, is this is not the same Bayern that beat Barcelona 8-2, and it's not the same Barcelona that was on the receiving end of that 8-2. You know, it's funny because on paper I would kind of say that the Barcelona that received the shellacking from Bayern 8-2, you know, had Messi, they had Suarez, they had Griezmann. So on paper, you would think that they had the better players. And then, of course, Bayern had Lewandowski. You know, the crazy thing is Bayern looked good in the first, they didn't look great in the first half. They were always doing too much, you know, in this game. They were always doing too much. You know, all of you guys were saying it. They're always doing one little extra pass. Somebody put up an amazing gif of like, you know, a bunch of guys playing basketball, and they would get right to the rim, and then they would like pass the ball, and then the next guy would go to the rim, and instead of dunking it or shooting it, he would pass it, and they would just keep on doing that and never score. That's what it looked like. It essentially looked like that. That Bayern just did not want to pull the trigger. Like, I don't think nobody can replace the absolute innate desire that Lewandowski has to score goals and just the ability he has to bang them in because he's a psycho in front of goal. Nobody has that at Bayern to the same degree that Lewandowski had it. Now, and I said it when I was tweeting during the game yesterday, because, you know, that was on Tuesday and it's Wednesday. I said it that had Lewandowski been on the other side, and I think on Chiringuito, they said it a little bit later, had Lewandowski still been playing for Barcelona, and Barcelona, let's say, had Memphis Depay playing in that position that Lewandowski was playing, I think they would have taken home another 4-0, 5-0, something like that. But they just don't have anybody that can finish. And then Barcelona, who does now have a guy that can finish, Lewandowski, unfortunately, is going through the same issue he had, I think, many times with Bayern, which is when they were with, you know, teams that were of a higher caliber, he would, you know, that kind of thing. Like, can you do it Can you do the same thing that you do against the smaller teams? Can you do it against the larger teams when push comes to shove and there's a lot on the line? And Lewandowski sometimes can fall short of that. Not always. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not criticizing like that, but he can be inconsistent in the larger games. I mean, he's obviously inconsistent when he's with Poland and, you know, he doesn't have the same guys around him like he does at Bayern, but he can't bring the same to the table that he does, you know, when he's with his club teams. So I think that's the one downfall that Barcelona had in that game is they just couldn't score. And had they scored, would the game have looked different? Sure, I think it would have. But a lot of these things, so this is where my next comment comes in, is does the moral victory exist? And I think I've talked about it in a podcast last season and all this kind of stuff. Do the moral victories exist? And I think football is not, there's so much stuff that has happened now with football in the last few years, you know, with the advent of stats and all these kind of things that people want to analyze, of course, you know, possession stats, shots on goal. You know, you come up with like, you know, chances created, you know, the goal, the expected goals. You have all these little stats that can tell you things about how a game should have gone. But, it's kind of that whole shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know, because a lot of people was like, you know, there are many culés that were saying, you know, Barcelona deserved to win. But the thing is, at the end of the day, nobody deserves anything. You know, you either win or you don't. You know, and that's the thing about football. At the end of the day, and I always say this to people, I love the idea of stats because I can put them up on screen and it would give me a lot more to talk about on this podcast if I went stat by stat by stat. But you guys can look up the stats. You guys can look up the stats. You're not going to get the opinions of different people. You're going to look up the stats yourselves and draw your conclusions. But the thing is, what I think about is this, you know, 5 or 6 years down the line, 4 years down the line, 3 years along, maybe even next week or 3 weeks from now, people don't go back and look at the stats to see how the game went. Should have Barcelona won that game? Like, if we're going to talk about it, should have Barcelona won the game that they played in Munich against Bayern Munich for the Champions League group stage in 2022? Should they have won the game? No one's going to care. What they're going to look up is the ultimate scoreline. What was the end of the game? And the end of the game is going to say that the scoreline was 2-0, right? And years from now, people that forget about, you know, seeing the game, watching the game, the stats and all that kind of stuff are going to just look it up and be like, wait, Barcelona lost that game how long? What was the score? 2-0. They lost the game. They lost the game. No one's going to go back and say, oh, you know, but really what happened was, maybe the diehard culés would, but they're going to, really what happened was that game, we were doing so well. We had way more possession. We had way more shots on goal. We looked way better, you know, and so it, yes, it was 2-0 and we lost, but, you know, we should have won the game. You know, you're going to say that two weeks from now, 2-3 weeks from now, 2 years from now. You're not going to say that shit. Even Barcelona fans aren't going to remember that game. What they're going to remember is that they lost the game. So this whole idea of, you know, should have, we could have, it was unlucky, all that stuff goes out the window down the line, because at the end, the recorded historical scorecard is what matters. The stats don't matter, you know, all that, like, you know, all that stuff, the possession, people aren't going to look at that anymore, all that stuff. They're not going to look at it even 2 weeks from now. It's all gone. What matters is the end scoreline. There are no moral victories, man. You could say, man, I wish we could have won that game. I wish too, you know, but, you know, I wish too sometimes that there were games, you know, or seasons that Real Madrid, you know, we always talk about the season with Mourinho, the game with Mourinho and what was it, 2011? You know, where everyone thought that, you know, Real Madrid was poised to win. And it was a sad ending to what looked like a phenomenal season. But that kind of stuff, you know, is going to happen. There are no moral victories. I mean, I think the only moral victories you ever get, and I go back to my fighting days, you know, and for those of you that I know, a lot of you that probably watch football and watch, you know, UFC and stuff, you can kind of have a moral victory in fighting, right? Because, you know, you have two fighters that beat the absolute garbage out of each other and somebody wins on points, but it was a really close fight, then be like, yeah, it's not, you know, or you have, but at the end of the day, like what people look at, you know, many, many years down the line, maybe they'll remember that that fight was a classic, but they'll still remember who won it. You know, they'll say, man, these two guys really went at it. You know, let's say like Mickey Ward versus Arturo Gatti or Barrera versus Morales or something like that in boxing, right? You're going to go down the line and say, oh my God, that was an incredible fight. These two guys really almost killed each other in the ring. They went toe to toe for 12 rounds, whatever. And then you're going to be like, yeah, and that was something to remember. So there is somewhat of a moral victory because that's one guy against one guy, right? There's a different thing there, and you're fighting. I think there's a, you know, there's actual blood, and your life is on the line. So I think there are moral victories in that kind of sport, and that's why, you know, I always loved it, and I you know, I was involved in it. But after a while, you just get tired of getting punched in the face. So I think there can be moral victories there as well. But at the end of the day, also what happens is the guy who gets the belt, the guy who ends up with, you know, the money, the prize money, they don't care who looked good. It's whoever won the fight when the final bell rang and the judges made a decision, or not even, because sometimes we've seen a lot of fights where one guy's dominating the fight. And then at the end of the fight, maybe in the 12th round, 11th round, or 5th round, let's say if it's Muay Thai or MMA, guy throws, just says, you know, fuck it. The only way I'm going to win this fight is I have to land a knockout blow, right? And so what they're going to do at that moment is they're going to throw a haymaker and be like, I got to do it. I got to do it, and I got to beat this guy. Throw a head kick, throw a haymaker, whatever, and they knock the guy out. The guy who seemed like he was going to win the fight, the guy who, quote unquote, deserved to win the fight, gets KO'd, right? And everyone's like, oh, dude, he was winning for 5 rounds, man. That's not fair. He got KO'd. It was a fluke. No, it wasn't a fluke. In the end, he got fucking knocked out, man. And that's the same thing that happens. You know, you can relate that to football. You know, you can relate that to football. Sometimes the teams that have all the possession, you know, Xavi loves his possession. All the possession in the world, all the tiki-taka in the world. And then all of a sudden, this team, these German machine that is Bayern Munich that continues to just give them nightmares. And I mean, in the end, I think they would give Real Madrid nightmares too as well. But over the past few years, they have completely picked on Barcelona. So, and we love to see it, no matter how good you played against them. If they beat you at the end of the day, they beat you, you know, and they did it again for the what? I think that the global scoreline in the last 5 games or something like that has been like 16-2. So pretty wild stuff, but there is no moral victories. You guys, culés, all that stuff. You didn't beat Bayern. Could you beat probably Inter? Yeah, I think they can beat Inter. Do I think that Barcelona, as much as I want to laugh at them, and say, oh, hey, you know, they're still the same team. They're still not going to do anything. No. I'm going to be respectful and say this is a team that scares me, essentially, that I don't want to lose to. Do they scare me? No. I don't want to lose to them. That's the thing. Because it's Barcelona. I don't want them to do well. But do they have the capability to do well this season? Yes, they do. They have Lewandowski. Killer guy, killer striker. They have, you know, they have Pedri, who I, you know, tip my hat to. Definitely a solid player. Dembele is having a phenomenal season. He looks great. Sometimes he makes bad decisions and whatnot. They have that guy. You know, they have a team. They have a team that can win. But here's where I'll shift to today's Champions League game, and this is how we'll end the podcast. You know, if we speak about the Champions League game today, what I said at the beginning of the podcast rings true is that, you know, Madridistas, I don't know what you want to see sometimes. I don't know what some Madridistas want to see. It seems like they want to see absolute dominance from the get-go, scoring goals, banging them in, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, whatever, and that's what they want to see. The minute they don't see that, the minute, you know, we're struggling a little bit, it's like, oh, man, we suck, it's terrible, what's going on? You know, I saw this one guy completely, you know, just going off on Rodrigo because Rodrigo was having a bad game. You know, honestly, I think Vinicius, Rodrigo, Camavinga, you know, Tchouaméni, I don't even think none of them were having like a decent game. Valverde had a great game. Valverde had a great game. I definitely, you know, feel that he was the solid one there. And then, you know, here, the guy that everyone wanted out of the club, and myself included, I'm not going to lie, myself included, everybody that wanted him out of the club, you know, he's not going to bring anything to the team. He's too, and he's, listen, same thing. Steps in, Marco Asensio, every time he comes on the field, he has one thing, guys, that we all know that he can possibly do. Coming off the bench and scoring a banger with that left foot of his. That is something that Marco Asensio is 100% capable of. We cannot deny it. The problem is Marco Asensio doesn't seem to be capable of anything other than that, which is what worries us because, yes, he can do things, and yes, he can play well, but it's always in spurts. It's not consistently, right? So today he had a really good game. He made tackles. He made interceptions. He was, you know, coming back and helping on defense and actually doing well. You know, he was tracking back. He was doing that. And then he scores a banger of a goal. And so, you know, now it's, we're wondering, well, it's pretty much the cycle again, right? You know, he's going to score a banger of a goal. Then he's going to play in the next game. Ghost for the next two games that he plays. Back to the bench, he's going to, you know, be mad like he was in Mallorca, that he wasn't playing, you know, that he wasn't put on the field. He has these, you know, he pouts and he looks angry and his reactions aren't all too professional, you know, like he did in the Mallorca game because they didn't put him on the field. But then he'll come in here and score bangers, and sometimes that you're going to need them. Maybe that's exactly what you have to do with players that are not performing, is you need them to be hungry because they want to come in, and then they come in and they want to prove themselves, you know? And so that's what essentially happened in the Champions League game against RB Leipzig. But RB Leipzig, you know, was playing, they were defensively sound. They were not letting us, you know, their midfield was essentially, you know, contested. They're not an easy team. They're not, of course, you know, I think, you know, Celtic was tough in the first half as well. You know, it's not like we had super easy teams. You know, I think Celtic, you know, obviously they're in the first place in the Premiership for a reason. You know, they've been a difficult team. They have a difficult place to play. Will we see that same energy from Celtic when they play in the Bernabeu? Leipzig definitely tried to out-muscle our team a little bit. But then what ends up happening is that same thing that Real Madrid does. They kind of lull you into this sense of complacency and thinking that you can, you know, you have chances. So you start opening up, and that's when they strike. And when they strike, there, one thing that we're good at is we seem to be, at least now, right now, it seems that everyone has their shooting boots on and they're scoring when they need to score, you know? And so I don't understand why Madridistas get like angry, or we're starting to doubt. I did it too. You know, the absence of our attack, the gap in our attack when Benzema isn't around is obviously glaringly evident in games such as what we saw today, you know, because there's no, how would you say, referente, as they would say in Spanish. There's no reference in the box. A guy who knows how to position himself in the box to score and maximize the chances of scoring, like a Karim Benzema or like a good number nine, there is nobody there, because you're using somebody who's not typically the way they move or they're used to moving, like let's say a Rodrigo or an Eden Hazard, if you put them in the game, they're not used to, their movement is, what's embedded in their muscle memory is completely different. So you would see times in the game where there's nobody in the box because that's just not what they're used to. And, you know, the players that you try to put in a position that they're not normally playing in, right? So we see that. Obviously, that's where it becomes glaringly evident that you need somebody that is a number nine. And let's say they might drop back and create like Benzema does, but they will drop back. I mean, sorry, they will be in the box and will obviously continue to or constantly be a threat to the center backs. And when you're swinging in crosses or you're trying to create plays, there's that guy that's always going to be there in the middle somehow. If you want to make a cross, if you want to, you know, if you want to make a cross, you know, a grounded cross, or you want to make a, you know, a head across an elevated lobbed cross into the box in order to be headed in or something like that, you'll have a number nine that's sort of well-versed or at least understands that position. And we don't have that when we don't have Benzema. So it's glaringly evident. But the great thing about Real Madrid, and this is the thing that great teams do, in my opinion, is when you have teams that essentially, I always say this, there's 11 players on the field, right? And a lot of times you're going to have a variety of things happen during a game. So you're going to have one time, you're going to have a game where maybe one or two players are off, but then two other players are so on fire that they kind of help the other two players that are off. But then the others things can happen, which is where everybody's off and the team as a whole just seems to be out of rhythm and not playing well. Maybe there's one guy that, you know, ate his Wheaties in the morning and he looks good, but the team as a whole isn't playing well. And then that's when it falls apart. That's when, you know, you lose games because the team just didn't perform. And then you have obviously those five-star games where you really go back into the stats, right, after the game, and you're like, I can't really pick out a player that performed badly. Everybody played well. You know, those quote-unquote perfect games. Like, you know, when players, when coaches and players say, you know, in order to win this game, we really have to play the perfect game and not make mistakes, right? There are those games where players, the whole team as a whole, seems to, like, play well and not make mistakes, right? And then there are games like today where some players seem to be off, some players seem to be on it. You know, some players coming in, you know, I think sometimes resting players affects some of them, you know, resting them and them not being in a rhythm. Let's say like they didn't play against Mallorca because they were getting saved for this game against Leipzig. And sometimes it takes them a little bit to get warmed up and get back into the rhythm of things. So it does affect them. But at the same time, obviously you want to conserve them for physical reasons. Obviously you want to conserve them for health reasons because you don't want to run the risk of them getting injured. But sometimes that lull in action, in rhythm, can cost the player from not, you know, not finding his rhythm within the game when you need him to. And so I think we saw that a little bit today. You know, they weren't playing as well as they could. They were a little bit gun shy, but then again, you know, they were also playing a team that was doing a pretty good job of defending, that was doing a pretty good job of making things difficult for Real Madrid. We were stringing passes together, but we weren't able to really penetrate the defense and try to get shots on goal. I think we were a little bit gun shy in that regard. But then you have guys that just, you know, like I'm saying, at the end of the day, I think this is where guys like Fede Valverde, Rodrigo, even though he didn't have a good game today, even Vinicius that didn't have a good game today, but can show you one moment of brilliance like he did to shake his marker. You know, he failed to get past his marker on one try, continued to fight for it, tried it again, was able to break free, then ends up sending that cross all the way across the box. I believe it was Rodrigo that dummies it, and it goes right to Fede Valverde, who scores the goal, and that opens up, obviously, the count for Real Madrid. But, you know, it So it sometimes, it, yeah, the team can be playing bad and it'll just take one moment of brilliance and one moment to unlock what is seemingly a difficult game. And this is the thing. For me, games like the ones today, sometimes, even though they're gritty and they're boring, and I even said it was boring to watch in the first half, I was dozing off. No, it was like no team was trying to actually do anything. Games like those that are gritty, you know, those are the games that win you championships. In the end, I've seen that. You know, we've talked about that. Those are the games that you kind of have to suffer through as a fan. And even players probably don't want to play those games. They want to be able to move. They want to be able to feel freedom and space and things like that. Obviously, the job of the other team is to not let you do that. but, you know, sometimes those players get frustrated. They're not finding their footing. They're not finding their rhythm. And you get games like today. But then, you know, one moment of brilliance. Once again, one moment of brilliance from Vinicius, a moment of brilliance from Fede Valverde, a moment of brilliance from Asensio, who comes off the bench and scores a banger. You know, and as much as I think people, and so once again, Real Madrid, of course, I think all of this comes down to the attitude of these young players, especially guys like Valverde. My God, the attitude of him. We are blessed with a player like that. He brings, I think this is the beautiful thing about Madridismo, the beautiful thing about Real Madrid and about Madridistas and about players coming to Real Madrid. And I think the great job that, believe it or not, I feel like Real Madrid has done over the years is truly finding the players that will fit into that mentality of Madridismo, you know, that really want to be there above any other club. You know, they really want to be there. They want to fight to be there. They live and breathe Madrid, you know. Maybe that was their dream and they are willing to fight for it, you know. And that's why, you know, as much as people say, oh, my God, we sold Odegaard. Oh, my God, we sold, we should have gotten Pedri. Oh, my God. And they whine about this shit. But at the end of the day, guys like, you know, Zidane and guys like Ancelotti and the rest of the team, let's say whether it's the physios and the coaching staff and everything, see things that we don't see, deal with attitudes that we don't see. And so they probably saw something in Odegaard. Clearly, he didn't want it. He, you know, he wanted to be maybe gifted that position, or he wanted more minutes, felt he deserved them in a team that's full of killers. Whereas you see somebody like Valverde, who's like, nah, yes, I know I'm not getting minutes, but I am going to fight for my spot here. Screw the rest. I'm going to fight for my spot here. Even if I'm not getting the minutes right now, I know I can do it. Now, sometimes the chance never comes. I remember, you know, one of the things I liked from an interview with James recently when during the transfer window was that he said, you know, Madrid is sink or swim. You either hit the ground running or you don't, you know? And that he admitted, you know, probably, you know, it's one of those teams, you either play or you don't, and you know, have one bad game and they're gonna bench you. Then maybe you'll get another shot. If you have another bad game, they're going to bench you now for two games. You come out, you get another shot two games later, you do bad again, they're going to bench you for three or four. Maybe that's it. Maybe that third chance, that's it. That's all you got. Which is why I think, you know, it's dangerous right now for Eden Hazard, where I think, you know, at this point, they're not going to give him any more chances because he just, does he deserve that many, you know, at this point in his career? Which is maybe why we were more tolerant of, let's say, like a Vinicius being a young guy and the things that he was showing to the coaching staff consistently. They were like, dude, this kid's only 18. Yes, give him some time, give him some time. And we're reaping the rewards now. For those of you that were like, give him some more time, I was a doubter. I was a doubter, and I will admit I was a doubter. I was like, you know, everyone talks about potential. When are we going to see this potential? You know, when are we going to, not when are we going to see it because we saw it, but when are we going to be able to benefit from this potential? And we did see it, you know, for those of you that waited and were patient, you know, my hat's off to you, you know, because that is what we're seeing now with Vinicius. And Valverde, same thing, man. You know, I mean, I don't think many people doubted him, but there was a little bit of a lull maybe the beginning of last season, you know, was he really going to, you know, break into this team and start, you know, and really become, you know, a indisputable starter. And we're seeing that now he is 100%. You know, you have to put this guy in the game. And I think Rodrigo's starting to slowly break into that. I think Valverde's starting to break into that. Obviously, Tchouaméni has shown us some great things. Camavinga has shown us some great things. I really think we have a team now that these guys are breaking and starting to bloom into the players. These young guys are starting to bloom into the players that we're going to have in the future. That we're going to one day, maybe a couple years down the line when I'm doing this podcast and be like, you know, Valverde's now, I don't know, 30 years old, right? Or 32 years old. And you're going to be like, dude, look at what Valverde's done. He's won, I don't know how many cups. He's done this. He's won a Balón de Oro. I don't know. He's, you know, you never know what can happen, right? And he's done all this stuff. And he's just an absolute Madrid legend because he's already looking like that. Vinicius already looking like that. Rodrigo, if he continues, I think he can get to a point where he'll be somebody that really helps us out, obviously. And I think he is a very talented player. One bad game doesn't take away from that. You know, but then you have like guys like Asensio that you've given them so many chances and then they, you know, they score bangers that we need and we love. But then you kind of have already seen this. It's kind of like the thing that sucks, I feel, for Asensio is he scores a banger like this, but we've seen this tune before. You know, we've heard this music before. Scores a banger, comes in, plays like shit for the next few games, scores another banger. And then I always hark back in my mind to like when Mourinho, they did that all or nothing Tottenham Hotspur with Mourinho and him telling, you know, Danny Rose, or no, it wasn't Danny Rose, it was Dele Alli telling him, you know, what's the difference between a world-class player and a good player? And it's essentially the world-class player is consistent. He delivers. You know, that's why we call guys like Ronaldo and Messi for many years, we call them the world class or the world's best because they consistently deliver. I mean, that's what I'm seeing right now from Erling Haaland. My God, praise Erling Haaland, dude. I love this fucking guy, man. I want him to be at Madrid. That's my guy, man. That is my guy. Bow down to Erling Haaland. I hate the fact that he plays for Manchester City, but my God, do I love watching Manchester City now just to see that guy score. I just want to see him score. I don't want anyone else to score. Fuck everybody else. Yeah, they have good players, but I don't want to see them score. I just want to see him score. You know, I just want to see him do his thing. That's the guy. And that's the guy I want. You know, after so much pain and heartbreak that we spent thinking about Mbappé and switching here, you know, switching here on subjects, but all the pain that we've had with this guy who continues to just talk about Madrid, because I think at this point, you know, he's saying all this Madrid shit because I think he's really starting to understand the mistake he made, right? But at this point, I don't want him. I don't want him. I want this other Norwegian beast, this Viking, this Uhtred of Bebenberg, what's his name? Ragnar Ragnarsson, you know? I want that guy. I want Bjorn Ironside on my team. I want Erling Braut Haaland. You know, I want this dude at Real Madrid. What a phenomenal player that guy is. Just a beast. And I can't even imagine what that, you know, him running around in white and, you know, with that in the Real Madrid jersey, running around like, you know, he runs like he's those guys that cross country ski. You know, they put up their arms, and I'm doing it right now, but you guys can't, I mean, unless you're watching the video, but they like lift up their arms and they're like hammering the skis into the ground, you know, or whatever, whatever you call those things. And he runs like he's doing that. He runs like he's ice picking, you know, like he's ice picking up a fucking mountain, a glacier. I love that guy. And then, you know, you see him body dudes as he runs to get score. And then he just jumps up in the air when nobody can expect and like nobody expects it to happen, and where people would normally head the ball, he jumps up and does like a fucking ninja kick to score. He's absolutely amazing. My God, dude, I love that guy. We need him. We want him. He's the guy that needs to replace Benzema when Benzema is done. No disrespect to Benzema, of course. Benzema is doing what he needs to do right now, but for the future, that is the man I want. Anyway, that's it. I think I've said enough, guys. I think I think that's where I want to be, you know, essentially. What did I wanted to say on this podcast? Once again, I am Eric Rivera. This is Y Nada Más Podcast, a Real Madrid podcast. And, you know, I've been doing these during the week because obviously we've had such a tight schedule. So I kind of want to talk about two games instead of just one game, you know, and bigger games too, because you have, you know, Mallorca, you know, no disrespect to Mallorca, but it's, a team that's kind of, you know, lower on the table. And then you have, you know, a Champions League game. So let's, you know, there's going to be more to talk about from Champions League and then discuss two games. So essentially that's where we're at. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. You can listen to us on, if you're listening, you know, you're already listening on wherever you find your podcasts, but you can watch us at Y Nada Más Podcast on YouTube. So search it there, give us a subscribe, give us a like, all that kind of stuff, comment. And then also, if you want to listen to us, head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a comment, leave us a like, or subscribe, leave us a comment, leave us a review, like a star review, because that helps us rise up in the ranks. And that's pretty much it, guys. You know, thank you for listening once again, as always. And we'll talk to you again soon. A la Madrid.
This has been Y Nada Más. Al Real Madrid Podcast.